We're now in the month of May, and as we make this tape, we send our greetings to those who listen to the tapes. We appreciate hearing from you with your cards and letters. We thank you very much. Now, today let's turn in the book of Matthew to chapter 6 and verse 10. In Matthew 6, 10. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, the message of this song touches our hearts as we confess that we are prone to wander, to leave the Lord we love. And we ask that you will draw our hearts to your own heart this day, that we may worship you and serve you, and that we may encourage others. Lord, cause this message today to be of great encouragement through the power of your word. As the message goes forth, may our hearts come home to your heart. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have looked at Matthew 6:10, you will recognize that this is the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples. And in the context, he has mentioned the way the Pharisees pray, and then he tells them in verse 6, "But you, when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now it is verse 10 that calls our attention today for our study in prayer and consideration. This is the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples to pray. And here is the petition: "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's a prayer for God to rule. And we ask the question, why should we desire for God to rule, to govern? Now, it's a deep question, and we could think of it long and long and hard. It's a deep question with great, simple answers. Let's look at it for a moment. Thy will be done, God's will, on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, it is perfect and complete. In heaven, there is a theocracy. God rules. Thy will must be done, must be carried out. Predestination must be carried out and fulfilled. And the most powerful force in all the universes is the will of God. Thy will be done. Now we know eventually we could say, yes, that is true. Is it for now? Is God's will being done now? And we could say yes to that. because the Bible teaches us that God is working all things according to His own counsel, His own will, His own pleasure, and His own purpose. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. We know that will be in eternity, and it is happening now. In the future, the complete fulfillment of this petition will be granted. God's will be done. We say then, well, if it's happening then and it's happening now, why pray? It is because God has ordained to use the prayers of His people to fulfill His will and purpose. God uses the means as well as the fulfillment. And so God calls His people to pray. His will be done. Now back to our question. Why should we desire for God to rule? And the first answer is this. God knows best. His wisdom is superior. It is incomparable. It is blasphemy to consider any other wisdom in comparison to His. He knows best for creation. He knows best for history. He knows best for eternal destiny. Who else would you want to rule and govern? Gray Davis? Bill Clinton? Joseph Stalin? Fidel Castro? Saddam Hussein, or yourself? He knows best. Why should we desire God to rule? Because He knows best. His wisdom is superior. Also, His intelligence is superior. Far above all human logic and reason. His intelligence is superior. Just one illustration of the intelligence of God. Regarding the creation of the human body and how it should function through blood being in the body. The life of the body or the flesh is in the blood. We must have blood. And in God from all eternity past, knowing how to create a human and put the human into a body, knew how to make the blood. Listen to this. In our body are 100 trillion red blood cells. A million is a lot because it's 1,000,000. A billion is a lot because it's 1,000,000,000. A trillion is a lot because it's 1,000,000,000,000. Now in our body, we have 100 trillion red blood cells. In our body, we have 60,000 miles of blood vessels. 60,000 miles of blood vessels. In our body, we have 25 billion white cells. The white cells are warriors. The enemy of our blood is bacteria. And the white cells march to fight off the bacteria that invades our blood cells. Is that intelligence? Could anyone other than the God of the Bible know about this and produce this? This is intelligence. God knows best. His wisdom is superior. His intelligence is superior. Now again, why should we desire God to rule or to govern? Because God is able. He can carry out his purposes. God has no rivals. He overpowers all potential opposition. God is able to control every atom in the universe. God is able to control every human. God is able to control Satan and all demonic beings. Therefore, we shout and sing, Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And this universe operates not by chance. History is not by chance. Our life is not by chance. His providential predestination rules over our life. Why should we desire God to rule? Because he knows best, and because he is able. Now, thirdly, God should rule because God is just. His justice prevails. And that's our great hope. God knows right and wrong. He will take care of what is right, and he will take care of what is wrong. God knows about forgiveness and punishment and accountability. And in the end of it all, we'll see perfect justice prevailing. Now, we have a glimpse of that now. From Philippians 2, 9 to 11, we learn that Christ has been highly exalted. Now, that is justice. That is what should happen. In this life, we will not experience perfect justice. But perfect justice has been fulfilled in the exaltation of Christ because he should be and he is. God knows best, God is able, and God is just. In the fourth place, God is merciful. That is, God is giving. God is benevolent. And God has showed mercy to the human race by giving air to breathe, food to eat, and water to drink. And God does this all over the world. Now, to be sure, there are times of famine and times of difficulty. but basically God's loving benevolence is seen in the world. We get to live in His universe. We get to live on this planet, the earth, and we experience God's giving mercy. In the fifth place, God is perfect. And we can sum up all of His attributes in the word perfection. God is perfect. He is absolutely majestic. I have read where explorers have gone to the Carlsbad Caverns, and they say there are some caves there. One cave particular that is so beautiful that you can't take it in. You just have to leave because it is overwhelming. And if God has a cave like that, think of what it must be to behold God Himself. Now the natural eye cannot do that. But one day when we are in the eternal state, we will have spiritual eyes and we will be able to behold Him in His beauty and in His light and in His perfection. Why should God govern? Why should God rule? Because He knows best. Because He is able. Because He is just. Because He is merciful. And because He is absolutely perfect. Now, we could not think about a message like this without including one other reason that God should rule. And that is the fact that God is gracious. And that God, by His grace, has provided a salvation from the sin of rebellion and disobedience. And it is right that God should rule in His grace. He is sovereign in grace. Now, this is what human beings object to. And even many, many Christians object to the fact that God's sovereignty rules His grace. But the fact is, some people are saved from sin and some are not. Now, we know this biblically. Who or what makes the difference? The Bible declares that it is God. By the election and by the atonement. Now let me ask four questions here and listen carefully to the questions. Is it fair for God to choose some and not others? And by fair, we mean according to the rules or according to the standards. Is it fair for God to choose some and not others? Second question. Does God have the right to choose some and not others? Thirdly, is God justified in choosing some and not others? Fourthly, can God be righteous in choosing some and not others? And I want to state one answer to these questions. Here it is. Human logic cannot answer these questions. The answer to these questions are given by revelation in the Bible. We must turn to God's own revelation and how He answers such questions. One place in the Bible directly refers to the answers to questions like these, and it is Romans chapter 9, where we are told that God chose Jacob over Esau, and that God raised up Pharaoh for His own purpose, and it is a God who shows mercy, and that it is the potter with power over the clay. So we say today that God should rule because He is gracious and He is sovereign in His grace. And He governs according to His own counsel and purposes, not ours. And God's governing rule is for His glory and for the good of His people. So we are faced with biblical truth, biblical revelation. And as we look at this, we accept it or fight with Him. Now listen to what one great American preacher had to say about this. Lyman Beecher, who lived in the early 1800s. And in a sermon that's recorded, we read, "Those who are opposed to the decrees of God and to His sovereignty, as displayed in the salvation of sinners, are enemies of God." Now that's strong. Those who are opposed to God's grace and His sovereignty and salvation are called enemies. That's strong, but is worthy of our consideration. Why should God rule? Great reasons. Because He knows best. Because He is able. Because He is just. Because He is merciful. And because He is gracious. Now, we need to respond to this message. Hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is for heaven in heaven. And this should be our desire today. For God to govern all creation, the flow of history, and it should be our desire for God to rule over us. For God to rule over me. Your will be done in my heart as it is in heaven. That is the only worthy response to this prayer. And so today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, present here in this Word of God, the call is to surrender to His authority and not to rule by self. Self-rule is the sin of the universe. And self-rule is the ruin of Christians who stray. Think today about coming home. Something is hindering the Christian life. The problem with communion. Remember the song, "Lord, I'm coming home." Come home today to the heart of God and surrender to His rule. He knows best. He is able and He is gracious. Jesus said, "All that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and he that comes to me I will never, never turn away." Let's come to Him this morning and come home to the heart of our God. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your power and authority and Your omnipotent rule. Thank You that You are controlling the affairs of history, and that You are ruling in the Middle East and with the problems of the Jews and the Palestinians and the Arabs. That You are ruling in our own country with all our problems. And yet we look to You. And Lord, thank You for ruling over our lives, for being gracious to us. Now we respond to You and submit to this prayer. Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Make it so, we pray, Holy Spirit, just now. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.